Day on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, COVID is making a comeback, and we'll tell you where. Plus, is legal gambling coming to the skies? And are hammocks coming to the airport? We'll answer those important questions and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we discuss airport/airline attire. Should there be a dress code? Would people behave better on planes if there was a minimum dress standard?
The Wreath Project is an annual charitable drive that brings out the best in our community. We'll update the 2026 Wreath Project at 11:35.
In the odds and ends portion of the program at 11:50, we share the 7 weirdest TSA fines of the summer and talk about tipping at Popeyes. What? Are you kidding me?
Unfortunately, I'm not. Tipping prompts at Popeyes. Good news, bad news, we share it all. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Popping everywhere, man.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget, you can find links to our special guests and a lot of the stuff to make you a smarter traveler right there at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, good to see you. How was your week? What's new?
It was good. I am in town for a few weeks, which is kind of nice every once in a while, you know, to... You don't have to. I got my car washed because it doesn't have to sit out at the airport in the daily lot for a week, and so it's like life is different when you're at home than when it's on the road. Hey, I wanted to mention something this morning. I'm driving in. I live near Sunrise in Coloma, and I'm driving in this morning and driving out of the parking lot where I live, and I see these two folks who have garbage pails and kind of those. Those giant tweezers, you know, if you don't want to bend over and pick something up.
I know very much. I'm very aware of those.
Okay. So
I have them.
And they're going along just an open field area there next to my condo complex, and they're picking up trash. And that wouldn't be particularly significant, except that last weekend, same time, those same two people were out there doing that also. And I just thought to myself, I mean, they didn't have any signs on or, you know, there wasn't like there was 65 of them or something like that. And it was a community project. My sense is that these are just two people who saw a need and decided that they would go out. And they're certainly not going to pick up all the trash in the entire field. But now on two consecutive weekends, an example of people just doing something for their community that nobody asked them to do. That they just said, you know, this might be a good thing to do. So I just thought the chances that they're listening to this radio program are a zillion to one. But the chances that somebody who knows them might be listening to the program is half a zillion to one. But anyways, for all the people who do little things in the community that no one ever asks them to do or no one ever says thank you for, just know that in some cases, some of us do notice. And if I see those folks, they weren't close enough to hail today, but if I see them out there again on my way in, I'm going to roll down the window and tell them thank you. Because I don't know why they're doing it, but if everybody did what they're doing, where I live would be a lot better place to live, and it reminds me that I need to make my own contribution to that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Certain exits at freeways where... I don't know why that people figure that's the good place to throw their trash out. And, you know, the county or whatever comes along and gets it all cleaned up. And it's always a nice surprise when you see that. But it seems like it only takes a minute for it to get littered again. That's the part I don't understand. Well, by the way, the final weekend for the California State Fair. If you haven't been out, time to get out and do that. If you ride the monorail, Yeah, the gal from Channel 3 is the voice. It'll come to me. Anyway, in the dialogues, they talk about things from the past. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? And then she says, Let's go back and revisit a jingle from 1977,
okay,
created by Tom Romano with the Travel Guys.
Wow.
But when it comes time to play, the jingle doesn't really play because when they cut the track, it was too long. And it didn't get inserted. So we get a mention.
Uh-huh.
I get a mention.
There you go.
I should play the jingle on the program for you so that you can hear it. But anyway, believe it or not, yeah, I produced and wrote the jingle for the State Fair that many years ago. That would
wow.
be 49 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Did they have electricity then? I mean, did people just go to the fair in horse and buggy or?
No, believe it or not, the State Fair as it resides there off of Expo Boulevard was there in 1977. Well, you remember, you went to the old State Fair.
I was at Cal Expo the day it opened. And there aren't very many people can say that because there were only about 50 people there. Governor Reagan stood up at the entrance and sort of christened the fair, and they opened the gates, and literally there was a crowd of less than 50 people.
Amazing.
There. I think it was 1968, I want to say.
I think you're right. Yeah, 68, 69.
Yeah.
Anyway, so last weekend of the State Fair, and one other final note of interest. Those of you that are trying to get tickets to L.A. 2028 for the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
There was an offer through Visa that you could sign up kind of a backdoor thing. And the Visa, if you were a Visa member, what kind of card, any kind of card with Visa on it, they made a draw. And believe it or not, both my wife and one of my daughters got drawn.
Wow.
And a couple of days ago at 10 a.m. in the morning, they got on their computers and they locked down tickets to go see synchronized swimming,
mm-hmm.
a couple of different events. No tickets available for opening ceremonies.
Well,
they'll probably come out available. So it is true. There will be an Olympics in L.A. And I do know people that got tickets, and they really weren't that expensive. It wasn't like $1,000 a ticket. I think it was like $70.
Cool.
So anyway, there you go. If you're waiting to get your tickets, you still got a chance. All right. With that being said, I guess it's time to do what we're supposed to do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, and that is to bring you up to date on the travel news. Hit it. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
Yes, yes, yes. More American airports are ditching TSA for private contractors. If you didn't know this, airports have a choice all over the country. They can use TSA staff, or they can use private contractors overseen by TSA staff, making sure that whatever rules and regulations that are followed at that airport are exactly what's done at other airports. And there are a number of airports, most of them smaller airports, who have opted for that. One notable exception is San Francisco, which does not use TSA but uses a private contracting security company. Next year, three more airports are going to make that switch. Tampa, Des Moines, and Charleston are going to private security. I'm not sure what that really means. I've been through private security and regular security, and I'm not sure that I could tell you what the difference is. But as long as planes don't fall out of the sky, I'm happy.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, it's every once in a while something weird happens going through security, but the bottom line is, as long as it keeps us all safe. Here's a survey. Hawaii Public Radio did a survey of different generations' travel habits to Hawaii and decided that Generation Z's travel habits have changed the most. They're the ones behind the boomers. That they are booking, they're coming to the islands more often, staying less time, not as long, and coming on shorter notice. So they're not planning. You know, you were saying you have a big event in your life coming up, and you were saying, well, you were thinking about going to the islands, but that's probably not going to happen, and the event's only, 6 weeks away. And
mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that more Generation Z people, when it comes to Hawaii at least, are looking at it as a destination that you can just go to on the drop of a hat. My guess is that more of these people are on the West Coast than the East Coast.
Right.
Because you can get to Europe faster from New York City than you can get to Hawaii. So my guess is that people from the East Coast are not suddenly saying, hey, let's take an 11-hour flight to Hawaii or, you know, with a connection somewhere on the western side of the country. So anyways, Generation Z folks are going to Hawaii less often, staying less, and going on shorter notice. This is an important thing to know. COVID infections are trending upward across much of the United States for the first time since this spring. So this is not killer news, but it's something to pay attention to. COVID, the CDC estimates COVID-19 infections are growing or likely growing in 37 states. So that's 3 out of 4. California is one of them. 11 states are estimated to be experiencing stable transmission levels, and that would be a couple others that don't have enough data to generate an estimate. What it means is that if you travel a lot, and especially if you're in a group that is more susceptible to COVID infections, older travelers, people who have health situations, you need to still get the COVID vaccine. Think about it, folks. You know, the new one will be out in September. So I know this is not for everybody, but if it's for you, then, and you're concerned about this, COVID infections are on the rise. And if you travel a lot, it would not be a bad idea to consider a COVID infection. Ask your doctor. I'm looking at the places where I've got a colored map here where places where COVID is growing. And it's mostly everywhere except for the stretch in the middle of the country, Arizona, New Mexico, and north. Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. Pretty much everywhere else in the country, COVID infections are higher than they have been for several months. So anyway, pay attention to that. The smart traveler pays attention to all of that stuff in the environment around them. Frontier Airlines is really glad that Spirit went out of business, because Frontier has a similar business model, and Spirit going away, Frontier reported record revenue in the second quarter, $1.3 billion, driven by higher airfares and capacity adjustments following Spirit Airlines liquidations. In other words, Frontier picked up some of the Spirit routes that were popular and ignored the rest, and is making more money because of it. LeBron James moved to the 76ers. Now, why would that be an important story on a travel show? You would ask yourself.
Well, yeah, because we're on a sports station.
Uh-huh. It triggered an immediate economic surge for the city and its businesses. Ticket demand skyrocketed. Preseason game prices jumped over 400%. It's interesting to know that the Sixers themselves raised some of those prices. And on the secondary market, suddenly tickets were out of sight. StubHub reported a 200% increase in searches. Local restaurants, retailers, and sponsors have responded rapidly, ramping up staff and inventory to meet the unprecedented anticipation. Of course, the NBA season starts in just a couple months here. So that's why LeBron James making a move to the 76ers means that tickets for their games, and if you're going to Philadelphia and you happen to be going on business or the like, and you're staying somewhere near the arena, then on nights that they play, then you're going to pay more money for your hotel. And restaurants are going to be more crowded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, here's another short travel story. President Donald Trump has announced a $22 billion plan to overhaul Dulles International Airport, including replacing concourses, building a large parking garage, and getting rid of those dreaded shuttle thingies, whatever they call them, at Dulles Airport that shuttle people from terminal to terminal. They are god-awful, unreliable, slow, and they're going to put in a shuttle service underground. You see, every once in a while, the president has a good idea, and I'm in favor of that one. Delta Airlines is partnering with DraftKings. Actually, Delta Airlines has been partnering with DraftKings for a year, it turns out. And you would say, why would they do that? You can't gamble on airplanes. Can't gamble in the skies. Well, maybe someday you might be able to. And maybe Delta is trying to position themselves so that when that happens, they'll be able to say, hey, we're going to do it first. So Delta and DraftKings, right now what they're doing is they've launched a thing called Sky Picks for sports predicting. So you can basically make some predictions and win prizes as opposed to putting up your money and gambling. So, interesting idea.
Fascinating.
But to the pundits who say this is just Delta positioning themselves, I think they're probably right. Because imagine all the free time people have on airplanes. Imagine how much betting, gambling revenue. Imagine how much gambling revenue, not just sports betting, but gambling revenue, period, could be picked up there.
Wow. Well, here again, you know, DraftKings is sports wagering. Sports wagering is kind of interesting. It's kind of like playing the lottery or whatever. You place your bet and you have to wait a long time before you get the results. The whole time you're holding your ticket or whatever, you're a winner until the final results versus, you know, cards or slots and so forth. So I don't know. I don't anticipate it's going to be a slot machine in the back of the seat in front of me on a Delta flight.
That could be soon. Bad for you. Doesn't your wife have a little bit of a weakness for slot machines?
Oh, well, we both do.
I see. So.
In fact, my sister-in-law and my wife and I, my brother-in-law passed, we're known as the three slot-cateers.
Three slot-cateers.
Yes, we are known statewide as the three slot-cateers.
Some casinos, you know, when they see card counters and people like that coming, they close the doors, they call extra security, they, you know, gently harass them to get them to move on. When they see the Romano family coming, they open the doors and bring out the band. All right, let's see here. The teddy bear could be the thing that holds you up boarding next time. Do you know that the kid's teddy bear is technically a carry-on item? So okay. This story came about because a Southwest gate agent made a big deal over the fact that the teddy bear was the third carry-on item. And they wouldn't let the family on the plane with the teddy bear unless the teddy bear could be stuffed into something else or something else could be combined. I get it. I understand. People are bringing god-awful, what you can't even imagine, stuff on airplanes. I mean, full-size suitcases that if all my only point would be to the gate agents, you know, the people who bring the steamer trunks on board, those are the people that you need to catch and say, you know, you can't bring this on board. You have to gate check this. I'm so sorry. As opposed to making a big deal out of a family that you see four of them and you've decided that they have nine carry-ons and they're only allowed eight. And the ninth one is a teddy bear. And so you're going to make a big deal out of that and make it a big power trip. All I would just say is maybe you should concentrate on the things that actually make a difference on board the aircraft. Because when that person gets on with that bag that's oversized and it won't go in the overhead bin the right way, has to go sideways, now it's taking up the space of two bags, two big bags. If you eliminated three of those by paying attention, why then the whole problem goes away. You don't have to worry about the teddy bears anymore. Just one man's
opinion.
Wow. let's see here. American Airlines, with airline tickets, if you buy them, it's a rule, you have 24 hours to cancel them without charge. If you didn't know that, you know it now. With any airline, any U.S. airline, you buy a ticket, and the next morning you get out of bed and you say, oh, no, I scheduled that over the top of, I forgot Johnny's wedding is that weekend. You call the airline and cancel the ticket, and as long as it's within 24 hours, you get a full refund, no questions asked. If the airline offers you a voucher, then point out the fact to them that it's within 24 hours, you want your money back. American Airlines is now changing. People who buy tickets within 7 days of departure, most airlines within 7 days of departure don't give you that 24 hours. They're just saying, hey, you know, you the plane's leaving in a few days, so you bought the ticket, you own it. American Airlines used to give folks, so if you fly American Airlines, just know that they have changed their policy to match everyone else's. And now if you buy a ticket within 7 days of departure, you don't get that 24-hour grace period. You own the ticket when you buy it. And that's that way with every other carrier. But if it's more than 7 days when you're buying it, you get a 24-hour grace period to cancel it without any charge. This is kind of interesting. I didn't know whether to include this, not include it, how to comment on it, what to say. Evangelists say they are heeding a biblical command to preach on flights. In-flight evangelists have preached sermons and bust out guitars in recent years. Some travelers lament that they can't even walk away. The people who are doing the preaching say that's the whole point. You can't walk away. Some other people have said, hey, you know, I get on an airplane. I don't want to listen to your cell phone, and I don't want to hear you preaching the gospel. I mean, there's a time and a place for that, and this ain't it. So on one plane, people started throwing stuff at some lady who got up and said, you know, Jesus is going to save you and stuff like that. And so, I would kind of say time and a place. You need to wear headsets when you use your cell phone. And I understand that some people feel a real calling to share their religious prowess with other people, but probably on an enclosed airline is not the place to do.
Well,
what do you think,
Tom? You know, I'm sure there are a lot of folks that when they get settled into their seat, say a silent prayer that this flight goes well to themselves. You know, I guess these people, perhaps they're just taking a moment there to, you know, to say a prayer on behalf of everybody all at one time for a safe flight.
Oh, God. You must have been in PR at some point, because that was massaged just perfectly. All right, one more story here. We're already out of overtime. Travelers clash after TSA shares surprising idea. We're getting used to our government kind of making weird statements, but TSA suggested, the Transportation Safety Administration, this is not our guys in Sacramento, but this is the guys running the whole thing, which I guess makes it even scarier, suggested that travelers bring hammocks to airports so they can relax during long layovers. A recent post marking National Hammock Day, the agency wrote, nobody said you couldn't bring a hammock to the airport. To reduce tension and to avoid having a falling out with the airport, check with them about where you can and cannot hang your napping apparatus.
Oh, man.
Bringing your own hammock through security for the specific reason of setting up camp is not considerate of others in a tight public space, another TSA spokesperson told Fox News Digital. I can only imagine. Can you imagine that if a couple dozen people decided to bring hammocks to the airport? Anyway, that's your travel news for today.
As weird as it is. Okay, coming up in the Smarter Traveler segment, should there be a dress code, airports or airline attire, huh? We'll talk about it next here on The Travel Guys.
This summer,
we're Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every Saturday, 11 to 12 here on KHTK. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, how much time do you spend thinking about what you're going to put on before you go flying?
Not a whole lot, because in most cases, when I go flying, I'm going to work. So I'm meeting a group of people at the airport. So I've got to have a Sports Leisure Vacation staff shirt on and some clean Dockers and, you know, decent tennis shoes and stuff like that. I can't wear my pajamas. But a lot of people seems to be a growing opinion that the reason there are so many issues on airplanes with people these days is because of the way they dress, that they dress so casually that that's impacting their behavior on airplanes. What do you think?
Maybe. I don't know. I suppose, generally speaking, most of the stuff you see that is controversial, that gets posted on social media, always kind of revolves around, you know, a scantily clad gal. It's all fake most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's set up to make you feel one way or the other about what it is that you're watching. I never see that on any of the flights that I go on. Pajama bottoms particularly is a pretty common thing, but yeah. I try not to make too much of it. I try to dress pretty much the same way I would in public anywhere.
You know, I really don't care what you wear on the airplane. I mean, I honest to God, I don't. I mean, your private body parts need to be covered. You know, your rear end should not be, your butt crack should not be hanging out. And whatever is in the front should be covered up. And, you know, if there's something on the top that needs to be covered up, then cover that up too. I mean, whatever that's appropriate to be, if you're out in public, I don't care if you cover it with pajama bottoms or a $50,000 dress, makes no difference to me whatsoever. What I care about is that you washed those clothes sometime recently, and that you washed you sometime recently, and that you're not bringing some stinky food on the plane that you're going to immediately open up and stink up half of the cabin. I mean, really, truly, after that, I don't care what you wear on the airplane. I mean, I care whether you had 9 drinks before you got on board and now you're going to be obnoxious. I don't care whether you're wearing a coat and tie or pajama bottoms. If you're going to be obnoxious and bother everybody, then I don't know. I guess maybe there's some tie to that. How you dress.
Do you believe that people would behave better on a plane if there were a minimum dress standards?
Yes, I do. Am I advocating for that? No, I'm not. But do I think that if people dressed a little more proper, they would behave a little better? I think I'm an old school guy, so I think there's probably something to that. But you're never going to get that to happen. And B, again, what really matters is how people conduct themselves, not really what they've decided to wear on board the aircraft. We're crammed into a little tiny space and hurtled through the air at hundreds of miles an hour. And we're all just trying to get where we're going and get on with our lives. So I would just suggest to people who think that they should preach on the airplane or make a statement by what they're wearing or get on board and be obnoxious to staff or something like that, that this is not the time or the place. And most of us have greater concerns than that in our lives when we get onto an airplane. So basically, I'm just kind of sort of saying, just leave me alone. Let me get there. We can be courteous and nice to each other and smile. And if you need help putting your bag in the overhead, I'm happy to do that for you. We're all just, sharing this small space together. We can be civilized to each other. But just wear something. Just get it all covered up and make sure it's clean. And after that, I don't really care.
All right. And that is a lot of people's opinion. We are the Travel Guys. We're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the folks from the Wreath Project. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. It's a very important subject. And then off we go into Travel Guys land right here on a fine Saturday morning.
Ah, this feeling is brought to you.
And we take you there.
Listening out there, you're going to be receiving a newsletter in the mail and online next week, which will give you an opportunity to register for our annual tour preview day. If you're a new traveler at Sports Leisure Vacations, or you haven't discovered what we do yet, we take mostly mature travelers on day trips, short vacations, long vacations. Just had a group got back from Iceland last week. We should have a report on that on air in the next couple of weeks. So we go all over the place. If you would like to join us, you can go to sportsleisure.com. There is a complimentary first-year membership in our travel club available there. And if you are a Sports Leisure traveler, you'll want to make sure that you register for Vacation Preview Day, which comes up on the 27th of September, a Sunday at the B Street Theater, the Sophia downtown. We have a pretty loyal following, so you want to get out and pick up your catalog at the first opportunity so you'll have equal chance to get in on all the great new trips for next year at Sports Leisure Vacations. Check out what we do at sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You can follow along with us at travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guest today can be found there, as well as to their website and what this conversation is going to be all about. If you're a regular Travel Guys listener over the years, you heard us talk to this family and talk about this project. It's the Wreath Project out there in Dixon, where there are now up to 42,000 permanent residents that we owe our respect to. Mark, set us up a little bit. You've been around this particular project for longer than I have.
This is, I think, the most remarkable thing that I've come across in a long, 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 long time. Once in a while, there is a grassroots effort, community effort to do something really spectacular. This started out as a small thing. As you mentioned, Tom, there are now 42,000 veterans' graves at the Sacramento Valley National Cemetery. And the idea here, the concept here, is to put a Christmas decoration on every single grave. And we started out with wreaths a number of years ago. The number of deceased veterans there has grown so astronomically that bows has been a way to keep the project going and still cover all the graves. Curtis Stocking is our guest this morning. Curtis, you and your family have been a part of this now for more than 20 years. When did it start?
Yeah, this would be our 21st year, actually. The cemetery was brand new 21 years ago, and that's when we placed our first wreaths out there. There was only need for 200 that first year, and as you said, it grew to 42,000, so you can see how fast it's grown every year.
Curtis, where did the idea for this come from?
You know, me and my wife were sitting watching a news show that night, and there was a family back east that was placing, they had a tree farm, and every year they were placing extra wreaths that they had at the Arlington National Cemetery in the old part that never got visited. And we thought, God, that'd be a cool thing to start here and right here in Vacaville and Dixon, that because it was a brand new national cemetery. I thought, God, we could do that, but we could do it, you know, 100% forever. Not really understanding maybe the growth of it at the time, but that's how we got the idea. And so we got a few friends together and raised a little bit of money that first year and went out and did it. And just been keep doing it every year. And it's just so heartwarming to see how many people come out and help.
Well, it's beyond amazing. I mean, I've watched it grow every year and always thought that, wow, one of these years, this is just not going to happen. But the bows cost about $10 a piece, folks. There are 42,000 graves. So do the math. That's $420,000. That's a lot of money. Yeah. So Curtis, we would be negligent here if we didn't stop and take a moment. We have spoken with your wife a number of years on this program, Susie, and tragically, she passed away during the year. And so I noted in your literature that you said this year you're going to gather in memory of Susie, who spearheaded All Things Wreath Project for the last 20 years. That it has to be difficult, but you have something that she helped create that to remember her by now every year.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because she really has spearheaded it the last 20 years, you know, keeping it up on it, keeping people aware of it and what have you. And you know, and 420,000, like you said, is a lot of money. And I think due to really because of her efforts of keeping it in front of everybody, but it really does show how much support, you know, we as a communities have for our veterans and want to honor a veteran. That's what it's all about. And this really is a grassroots, you know, we get a lot of $20 contributions from all over the country now. I mean, we get some larger ones here and there, but you know, nothing major. Every contribution is major. I shouldn't say that, but anyhow, it's just really as a grassroots, just a ton of people donating throughout the year. And this year, the last few years, we started doing a fundraiser dinner to supplement, you know, see if we can make a little shot in the arm, and that always helps. So we're doing that again this year. And, but my wife has really kept it all going, and me and the kids are going to keep it going.
Well, Curtis, thank you for all that you and your family have done. We certainly will miss Susie, and as you know, we're here to help you and the family as long as you're doing this. And you mentioned one of the main reasons that we were talking today is you have an upcoming event. It's something that is kind of new to you. You have a golf tournament every year. That's a good fundraiser. But this is an event, the second annual dinner auction fundraiser at a new place up in Vacaville at the Sunrise Banquet Hall and Event Center, which I think you indicated is a much larger place than you had before. September the 12th. There's a lot of different ways that you can be part of this. Why don't you tell us some of them, if you would, Curtis?
Yeah, it's a large facility. You know, we can hold 500 people. Last year we held it there, and this year we want to fill it up. And we have a lot, you know, just a lot of opportunities to help. I mean, whether it's, you know, buy a ticket to come for dinner, sponsor a table, other sponsorship levels. You know, we're always looking for good raffle auction items because we do a live auction, what have you. And the better items we have, the more we can get. And it's just going to be a fun event. You know, music at the end. And we even have what we call a golden ticket where we're selling 200 only, you know, for $100 each for a chance to win a trip. And a lot of ways to do it, you know, and just anybody just want to volunteer some time is good too. But that's a big boost for us to have this very successful in order to, you know, get enough funds to do 100%. Because we've done 100% of the cemetery every year for the last 20 years. So we just got to keep that momentum going.
Wow. Okay, Curtis, after our call is over, I'll send you an email. I've got some ideas here. I'd like to get Sports Leisure Vacations involved as a sponsor here on one of your levels. So I'll send you something after we talk here. For our listeners who are listening here, there's a dinner on the 12th of September. You can attend. The cost of the dinner is $100. That's in Vacaville. Or if you're not inclined to go to the dinner, there are lots of ways. I put a link at travelguysradio.com. As Curtis said, you could send a check for $20. That would cover two graves. So any kind of contribution. If you only write one check this year to a community charitable event, let's make it this one. This is something that's gone on for a long time. It's done by just regular folks. And so we have to help them keep this going. That is the way that this is going to work. So go to travelguysradio.com, find the link there to the Wreath Project, figure out a way, go to the dinner, send them a check. They of course have a day when they put the boughs on all of the graves, and then a day when they take them off. You can help with that if you wish. But this is kind of sort of about the money. So we need some folks to step up here. No amount is too small, and certainly no amount is too large. The Wreath Project, rememberavet.net, is where you can find out information, or you can go to travelguysradio.com and find the link there. Curtis, we'll check back in with you between now and Christmas time. My hat's off to you and Melanie and all of the folks who are a part of this. I really think very highly of you. It makes me very proud that something like this is going on in our community and that we can be a small part of it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom and Mark. It's been great, and we always appreciate all the support you've done every year.
Our pleasure, Curtis. Thank you so much. Good luck. Keep us posted, and we'll catch up with you down the road, and we'll do this again.
Very good. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, buddy. Bye for now.
A most worthy project, as you could probably tell from what I said in the interview there. But, you know, this is just some folks who decided that this was something that they wanted to do, and now it's become an incredibly massive effort, dollar-wise and people-wise. And the lady who spearheaded the whole thing is now gone. So now we will do it in her memory without her. Just to prove that it can be done. So anyway, rememberavet.net is where you can go to help out with that.
You know, I was thinking my goal this year is to donate for each person that is close to me that is at that cemetery. So I've got a father-in-law, I've got an uncle, I've got another father-in-law and a couple of friends. So, you know, I'm going to have to write my check and get it going.
With 42,000 people buried there, there must be a lot of people around the greater Sacramento area who know somebody who is permanently resting at that site. So anyways, Sports Leisure Vacations stepped up. We made a donation on behalf of the Travel Guys. It took out a sponsorship on behalf of the Travel Guys in our company to kind of step up our game just a little bit for them this year to help out. So hopefully you will consider the same thing. If you're a Sports Leisure traveler, when you come to Tour Preview Day, you're already supporting that project. All right, coming up after the timeout here, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to take care of some odds and ends on the program. One of the things that we're going to talk about is a new musical that's coming to Broadway. Remember, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We'll be right back.
We wouldn't be celebrating.
Thanks for joining us here every Saturday at 11 a.m. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, officially the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for coming along. All right, into our last segment, got some fun stuff to cover. Where do you want to start, Mark?
Well, let's see here. Weird things the TSA has found this summer. Grenades are popular. with TSA. Yeah, no, I would have said, yeah, what? Grenades? Live smoke grenades were found towards the end of June. Officers at Indianapolis International Airport caught two live smoke grenades in a traveler's check bag, one of which was submerged inside a jar of peanut butter.
Wow, smoke bombs.
Yeah. Basically. The word is from TSA is don't put your smoke bombs in the peanut butter jar because they will find it anyway. And, of course, even if they didn't, I'm not sure that your smoke bomb would be in good shape. An inert grenade was found, no peanut butter this time, on June the 15th in Detroit. TSA officers had to evacuate and close the security checkpoint, call an explosive specialist and law enforcement. Oh, I'll bet you there were some really happy people there. Imagine if some jerk did that and you missed your airplane and all of that stuff just because of, you know, and of course, ranch dressing. TSA officers reported that there was countless bottles of buttermilk goodness were confiscated thanks to TSA's liquid rules. Fireworks, they said, they always catch a lot of fireworks around the 4th of July, but this year they were a lot more, people went to a lot greater effort to hide them. And what the TSA officer who was interviewed in this article says, basically, you know, the technology is so good now, we know everything you're carrying. So you're not, no matter what you do, when it goes through the machine, we're going to see it. So
yeah,
better to just put it where you're supposed to put it. A samurai sword came up at Terry Reed International Airport in Las Vegas. It was more than 3 foot long. They packed it in a guitar case. So, of course, in all of these instances, except for the active grenade, all these people were allowed to return to the ticket counter. And if they could check it into their, if there was some way to check it as a checked item, then they were allowed to take it with them. They just weren't allowed to take it on the airplane. So,
well, that makes sense. The samurai sword thing, you know, yeah. I can imagine that people pick up souvenirs along the way when they're traveling, and putting it in a guitar case seems pretty special. But then where is the guitar?
Well, and the other thing is, where the hell would you put it? I mean, if not in a, I mean, what else is 3 foot? I've seen people bring some oversized carry-ons on board, but never quite that large.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's see here. What else have we got? American Express is putting out a warning about, I'm seeing from just about every source in the news feeds that I get, an increased number of fraud scams and scams going on involving credit cards. So really the word to everybody is, if you're sitting there thinking you've gotten an email, a phone call, a text or whatever, and you're thinking, this might be legitimate, but it might not, go with your thought that it might not. And pick up the phone and call the credit card company or whomever. You know, now they're hacking people's emails and sending out invitations to parties, trying to get you to click on the, which then embeds something into your computer that you don't want. So when you get something like that from somebody inviting you to a party with no details, then just email the person and say, hey, did you just send me an invitation to a party? Because the answer is 99 times out of 100, no, they didn't, and their computer was hacked. And if you're the first person to report it to them, you've done them a huge favor. I've gotten several of them now, to the extent that I don't even wonder about them. The first one, I wondered if it was legit. Since mm-hmm. then, I haven't. This is an interesting story, and I mention this because when we're traveling, we're tipping all over the place. And increasingly, you know, one person in this article I'm looking at here says, well, you know, the plumber came out and fixed something in their house, and then the plumber, when presenting the bill, there was a suggested gratuity on the bill for the plumber. So I'm not here to make that judgment call. I'm just reporting the news. Popeyes decided, 15 locations in the greater Michigan area decided to try something with a screen that said, you know, if you'd like to reward the people who prepared your meal, Not necessarily. So they were appealing. They were talking, you know, wouldn't you like to tip the people in the back of the house who don't get tipped? Yeah, that's there's a legitimate argument there. So many restaurants, many fine dining restaurants include the people in the back of the house in the distribution of tips or pay them under a different scale because they're not eligible for gratuities. But anyway, this Popeyes decided that Popeyes said, oh, no, this is never happening. This is never happening. Forget it, forget it, forget it. But then I would say, why did you do it in the first place? If it was never going to happen, you did it to see what the public pushback would be. And in this case, the public pushback was pretty immediate and pretty large. But anyhow, Popeyes took a run at tipping, at getting people to tip. Screens coming up. These were at least 8%, 10%, and 15% screens, but still nonetheless. All right, let's talk about luggage for a second here. Three quick items. This reporter put a camera on his checked bag just to see what happened to the suitcase when it went through the airport. We have the link to his video at travelguysradio.com. It's under the items for this week's program. So you can see what happened to this gentleman's suitcase. If you have absolutely nothing else to do on a Saturday, it's worthy of 3 minutes of your time. Also, Broadway at Music Circus is sent out a call yesterday asking for, they're looking for suitcases from the 1980s and 1990s to be part of the set for the Broadway at Music Circus premiere of Come From Away, which is coming up later this summer. If you have any luggage that you'd be willing to part with, of course, Come From Away is the story of folks who landed in Gander, Newfoundland, who were in the skies when 9/11 happened, and the planes had to go somewhere, and nobody knew what was going on, so they went to Newfoundland. And that whole play, that whole wonderful musical, is about that experience of folks going to Newfoundland on September the 11th. It's coming to Sacramento September. So anyway, the Music Circus folks are looking for period suitcases from the 80s and 90s. This was the talk of the office yesterday afternoon here. And you just bring it and drop it off. They are not going to give them back. So make sure it's something that you're willing to part with. But maybe your suitcase will be making its on-stage debut at Come From Away.
I don't think they'll want it, though, because it's too old. I have a piece of luggage from the 70s. It was given to my wife and I as a wedding anniversary, a wedding present. Samsonite, famous Samsonite, hard shell. Brown, everybody knows them. The only piece I have left is the, and I think it would be considered the kind of the makeup, where you put your, a woman would put all of her fingernail polish. They were sort of square, about so big by so big. They're very nice, very nice. I have one. In fact, I moved it at about four different places in the garage while I was doing some work out there going, what am I going to do with this? I'll give it to the Music Circus.
Talk about things that have gone by the wayside. Cosmetic bags.
I guess that's what that would be.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever see them anymore. Nobody carries it on the plane. It would be a logical carry-on. You don't see them coming out of the luggage chute anymore. So that's something that ladies don't carry there. You know, and all those had a big mirror on the top of it. And
yes, exactly. And a big plastic thing. Heavy duty, you know, you could kick it around. You're not going to put a dent in it. If you go out to Terminal A, most people have seen this.
Yes.
They have that pillar on the ground floor, and it's surrounded by luggage from all different eras. And you can go there, and you can see my luggage, because it is there, embedded into the side of that post. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, it is. The rabbit art gets in the newer terminal gets a lot of attention there, which gives us an opportunity here before the last item I have. For the day is that next week on the Travel Guys, we're going to be talking to folks from the airport. Yay! We've been trying to make this happen for a while. And getting updated on all the stuff that's going on out there. The walkway out to the newer terminal is just about done. The parking garage is going to open this fall. So we'll get an update on a lot of things. There's a rumor that maybe our airport is about to expand, so I'm hoping we'll find out a little bit more about that. So if you have a question that you'd like to add, like someone from the airport to answer, if you send it to travelguysradio.com, I'll try to jam it into the interview next week when we talk to those folks. Hey, listen, we told you about here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys that there's a big show, new show coming to Broadway that's opening soon. It's about the life of Dolly Parton. And having checked into some of those for tickets for next spring for a group that I'm putting together, We're going to see that show and the Macy's Flower Show and some other things in late April of next year. I can tell you that show is selling very, it's going to be very popular. Can't tell you if it's going to be any good yet, but I can tell you that a lot of people are buying tickets for it. So if you're thinking about going, another one from that period, The Osmonds, a new musical is coming. Of course, The Osmonds, what was their... There were five or six of them in the group, and then there were a couple of other Osmond boys who were not in the group, and their parents were fairly well known. They were from Utah, big musical sensation of the 70s. So their life story is going to be told in a Broadway show, which is going to be out, just say sometime in 2027. They've set the cast, so they're ready to go.
Well, Donnie and Marie are still working musicians. It'd be kind of interesting, you know, while you're still alive to have a musical about you. All right, my friends, it's a wrap for today. We'll look forward to seeing you next week at 11 a.m.
You betcha. Every Saturday morning with the Travel Guys. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you on the radio next Saturday morning.